Today we're going to talk about the life of an architect in the modern pop music industry. We're talking about Quincy Jones. We're going to walk through his autobiography called Q, of all names, and extract various interesting elements of pop culture and discuss how it fits into various conspiracy theories of the music industry. We're going to talk about the traumas from his childhood of cooking up rats and seeing dead bodies, as well as his pursuit of immortality. We'll talk about Diddy, Michael Jackson, Tupac, Will Smith, Peggy Lipton, Twin Peaks, of course, Kidada Jones, LL Cool J, Charles Manson, Tevin Campbell, and more. We'll explore if Quincy Jones was Illuminati confirmed by his connections to alchemy, the Kundalini, and various rituals. Join me on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. I've been doing this for over 10 years. So today, and first, I got some housekeeping. I got housekeeping for that ass. Where is it? Okay. This is, okay, so as you know, I've got three supporter feeds, right? I got, what do I have? You already know. I got Apple Podcast Premium, I got Patreon, and I got the IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section. This pertains to people who, in the future, want to sign up for Patreon, okay? If you're already on Patreon, you're good. No worries at all. But in the future, the issue we've got is that Apple is trying to extort Patreon, basically, allegedly, in my opinion. What happened is that Patreon, if you sign up for Patreon on the Patreon Apple app, you're going to have to pay more because there's a new fee that Apple is starting in November, could take effect as late as like March of 25. Point is, if you want to sign up for the supporter feeds and get ad-free show, hundreds of bonus episodes, everything you could ever want, at patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, you should do it on a laptop or a browser or a desktop, because if you do it with the Patreon app on the Apple Store, you're going to have to pay a few bucks more, because that's the extortion fee, all right? That's the deal. If you're already on Patreon, you're good. Nothing to do at all here. You're fine. Right, it's like a 30% fee. I'm looking at my notes here. If you're already existing on the Patreon, no worries. If in the future, from this point on, you're like, I want to sign up for that Patreon and support my favorite podcast, I recommend you do it on the desktop, laptop, browser. Just don't do it on the Apple Patreon app because you're going to pay more. Okay, you got it. If you're on Android, you do the Android app. From what I understand, you're fine. I think it's strictly the Apple Patreon app. You're going to have to pay 30% more. Okay. Just wanted to let you know that, because I have people sometimes that they're coming and going, and they're like, hey, I got to pay some bills. I got to do some things. I'll be back. If that's you, just be aware. You're going to see it. You're going to go to sign up on the app, and it's going to say the monthly fee for tier one is now $9. You're going to say, $9? Did he raise it? No, I didn't. That's the Apple extortion fee. You can still sign up for the $5 tier one at patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Okay, back to Quincy Jones. Who is this guy? Well, he started out as a jazz musician. Then he started producing music. Most famously, the big Michael Jackson albums of Thriller, Off the Wall, Bad. And he was also behind Will Smith's rise to fame, setting him up with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Ironically, Quincy Jones died at his home in Bel Air on November 3rd, 2024, at the age of 91. That was a pretty good run. And his personal life was very interesting. Like I said, I bought his autobiography and read through it. The dude, interesting story. Man, I don't know if they made a movie about him or not, but they should. He was friends with a ton of A-listers, partied with the best of them, Frank Sinatra, Ray Charles, Marlon Brando. He talked about how, I think it was Marlon Brando, was having gay sex with someone else. Not that there's a problem with that, but he claimed a lot of crazy stuff. He claimed he knew who killed JFK. It was some Chicago mobster, because Quincy Jones grew up in Chicago and I think South Carolina and Seattle, I think, which is interesting because when you find out he's was married to Peggy Lipton. That's right. Norma from Twin Peaks. Okay. But his children with Peggy Lipton, there's a lot of connections here, and I'm going to unpack a ton today, so I hope you're ready. Get comfortable. It's going to be a minute. We're going to talk about Tupac and all kinds of sort of blood sacrifice ideas. You know, Notorious B.I.G., who was gunned down after a Quincy Jones vibe party, because Quincy Jones started Vibe magazine. And then, of course, Tupac killed in Vegas. He was dating Quincy Jones' daughter, Kidada Jones, at the time. We'll come back to her because she was besties with Aaliyah. And then there was beef with Diddy. It goes on and on. You won't believe what you're going to hear today. It's my journey with this started out. I heard he died. I was like, oh, okay. I've heard of this dude. And shout out Anna Maria Tarullo. Am I pronouncing that correctly? From ESPN 680. I did a few. I was on ESPN 680 in, I think it was Louisville, a few times. Shout out James. And anyway, she tweeted a GQ article, and she was like, this is a really interesting article. So I read it, and I was like, damn, that is interesting. So that's what led me to buy his book, and I read his book, and I was like, this dude lived a life. He lived a life. But is he Illuminate confirmed? I don't know. We're gonna come to a conclusion by the end of the show, maybe. Okay, so if you read the article, it's kind of a greatest hits of his autobiography. A lot of the stuff gets repeated in the book. You know, he talks about partying with Ray Charles, Frank Sinatra, said how they would be flying on a private jet with all these Playboy bunnies. And he said that was the song Fly Me to the Moon. I think he's saying that was the inspiration for the song. And he hung out with Buzz Aldrin. That's right, NASA. Never a straight answer, NASA. That old fake moon landing, NASA. And he claims that Buzz Aldrin told him that he took Fly Me to the Moon with him on the trip to the moon on a portable cassette. I'm going to swear because quite frankly, I'm ready to turn a page on the not swearing thing. Do I want to do that? I don't know. Let me think about it. Let me not make a rash. I'll keep it clean for another minute. I got a lot of feedback because I did a oops all cussing episode, and I got a lot of positive feedback about that. And I say, well, don't threaten me with a good time because I'll drop the naughties. Let me think about it a little bit more. And if you're on Patreon, leave a comment of what you think about Isaac letting her rip. So I'll keep this one clean. But he said, boy, that was a real hype up for this one sentence. I guess Quincy Jones hung out with Buzz Aldrin, and Quincy said he's a wild mother effer. See, it just misses something. When I got to clean up the language, it just misses. But whatever. He talks about meeting Michael Jackson when Michael Jackson was 12 years old. Okay. And he met him at Sammy Davis Jr.'s house party. What are we talking about here? You know, red flags are going up in my head. Sammy Davis Jr., allegedly a member of the Church of Satan. Michael Jackson, when he was 12. He said, Thriller was the second of the three Michael Jackson albums Jones produced. After Off the Wall and Before Bad, Jones first met Michael Jackson when Jackson was 12 at a party at Sammy Davis Jr.'s house. Now, I this is actually in the book as well. And it clarifies it in the book, and it says it was an afternoon party, by the way. So, you know, I hesitate to say it's one of these Diddy-type parties or one of these parties where if you read my hip-hop conspiracy book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, I'll put a link in the show notes. If you haven't read that book, it turned out to be very prophetic. Now, that's one of my prouder moments, all right, because I've taken a lot of shots over the years. When I took that book on to SiriusXM, I got roasted hard. And I'm telling you, all this stuff's coming true. Because in the book, I talk about how, I believe it was Jermaine Jackson. I should have looked it up. Terrible. What's wrong with me? Sorry, I've been busy. I'm trying to knock down this Twin Peaks thing. Because I know some of you guys are like, I'm so tired of the Twin Peaks. I'm so tired of Twin Peaks. Stop talking about Twin Peaks. I know. I'm going to hurry up. I'm going to blast through it. And when I get all the episodes done, I'm just going to upload all of them. And you're going to be overwhelmed with Twin Peaks. Can you tell I'm stalling? I'm stalling here. I want to get the name right because I think it's important. I think it was Jermaine Jackson. Nope. Oh, see, that's why it's a good thing I looked it up. I'm looking at my copy of Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. And, good Lord. This is painful, everybody. You know, what else can I say? I had two different versions of Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. And the one has my experience of going to, you know, I can't find it. It's going to take me forever. So my apologies. One of the Jackson brothers was going to publish a tell-all sort of memoir. And I thought it was Jermaine. I think it was Jermaine. Anyway, he claimed that, it might have been Tito, that Michael Jackson, his father used to take him to parties with a bunch of elites wearing suits, and he wouldn't take in any of the other brothers. So the next day when Michael would come back, he would be really traumatized. Like, he got abused. The implication is that he was abused by the elites. And when you look at the state of affairs in the world today, when you look at the story about the Menendez brothers and their father, who was being very inappropriate, allegedly, it makes you wonder. That's all I'm saying. Quincy Jones grew up in 1930s Chicago. His mother got sent to a mental asylum, mental hospital, when he was only 7 years old. He later says in the book that he saw her eat her own feces. This is what he said in the article for GQ, though. He says, "If you think today's bad, as a young kid, after my mother was taken away, my brother and I, we saw dead bodies every day. Guys hanging off of telephone poles with ice picks in their necks, man. Tommy guns and stogies, stacks of wine and liquor, big piles of money in back rooms. That's all I ever saw." And he talks in the interview about how he's got a scar in his hand from some like gang member shoving a knife through it and into a fence. And then another guy held an ice pick to his temple. And his dad came out to save him. His dad was a carpenter, by the way. And guess what the carpenters got on their little belt loop? They got hammers. So his father hit the guy in the head with a hammer. Did he kill him? I don't know. Did he confess to a murder? I don't know. Now, is that warranted? Yeah. I mean, someone puts a knife through my hand and an ice pick to my temple, I pray I got someone out there with a hammer ready to hit him in the head. Anyway, point being, very traumatic. And we'll talk about the poopy. Well, in fact, I'm going to tell you now in case I don't say it later. His mother, in the book, he talks about going to the mental hospital to see his mother when he was a child. And she poopies in her hand and then starts to eat it. And then their dad, like, slaps it out of her hand and, like, sends her flying down into the hallway. I mean, can you imagine all this before you're 10? If Quincy Jones is Illuminati confirmed, like, on one level, like, get it. Like, bro, you've been through a lot, dude. I could see how that could cross some wires in the old brain, right? He claims he's got 22 girlfriends, and they all know about each other. He claims that. I don't know if I believe that, that he found 22 girls that were cool with all being side pieces. That's what he claims, though. And the range of ages of the women he dates is 28 to 42. My man's 84, by the way. He's definitely hitting that blue chew for American boners. But he's dating girls. He tells the interviewer he's dating girls as young as 28, and he said his daughters tell him this is the age range of girls you can date because you can't be too creepy and go too young. 84 years old dating a 28-year-old, I'm calling that one creepy. It's their God-given right. They're adults, and they're consenting. I'm okay with it, but I am going to say it's creepy. But it makes me wonder, like, bro, you sure that's what you're saying to the interview? Are you sure you're not dating any 18-year-olds? I don't know, or younger. He talks about his womanizing friends. There was a guy named Porfirio Rubirosa. He said Rubirosa had an 11-inch dong. Is it bigger than Arnold Palmer's? I don't know. The biggest hog you've ever seen. 11 inches. First off, how do you know that, Quincy? Have you seen it? And second off, my goodness. But Quincy, he talks about hanging out with everyone. The Clintons, Oprah, the Obamas, Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, Sergey Brin, Nelson Mandela, a whole bunch of people. In the book, he talks about, in his autobiography, he talks about hanging out with Malcolm X. He said Malcolm X was a dope dealer when Quincy was with his road band doing jazz stuff in the, I don't know, the oldie times, that they used to buy dope from Malcolm X. Anyway, also, when he was 14 years old, he was in a car that got hit by a bus. It was him and four friends, and the car got hit by a bus. Listen, I'm going to read you from the book. Reached up and pulled my friend, and his head fell off. That's effed up for 14. It was very traumatic. So he was in a car wreck. Everyone in the car died except for him. And these are all his friends. And his friend, his head rolled right off of his body, apparently, when he was 14. And Quincy later, he tried to learn how to drive, but he never drove. Never drove. Again, massive amounts of trauma. Emotional damage. He wakes up at 4 or 5 p.m., stays up all night, and goes to sleep like early in the morning. He said that the muses come out at midnight. And we're going to come back to this idea later because he talks about how to tap into the subconscious. Common theme. And my man's got a good point. He says, no emails, no faxes, no calls are happening that late at night. And that's a good point. It's a very good point. He speaks 26 languages. He thinks he can live to 120. This is what he says, or what the article says. Many people of Jones's age accept that their days may be coming to an end and adapt accordingly. Jones is not one of those people. For the past 8 years, he has spent 6 days a year at an exclusive hospital in Stockholm with 14 Nobel doctors, some of the smartest molly trotters on the planet, benefiting from the most cutting-edge medical technology. And then the interview says, so did I hear that they've said to you, you could live until 120? And Quincy says, 110, yeah, 30 more years. Are they pretty confident you can get there? Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. Nanotechnology and the genome breakthrough at Cal State. That's what the Nobel guys said is going to allow it. Wrong. You can't listen to these nerds. The nerds are going to lie. The nerds are going to kill us. I said it years ago. I stand by it forever and ever. I will stand on that business till my dying breath. The nerds are going to kill us. They're going to deceive us. They're going to lie to us. And they're going to kill us. That's just what it is. You dig into all the occult texts from Francis Bacon and so on. They talk about the fantasy of the Atlantis plutocracy of science as the new god, which is all Luciferian stuff, right? So when you see Elon Musk gaining power, well, he's got the Neuralink. He's got the way of getting the chip into the brain. And it's all coming together. This is the digital matrix stuff that I talked about in every book I wrote. Every book I think I wrote about the digital matrix. It's a matter of time before they get us in there. And it's interesting to talk about this idea of life extension to 120 because Will Smith, which we'll talk about later, Will Smith said that Quincy Jones was an alchemist. So to me, I look at this and my understanding of occult practices, Quincy Jones appears to be pursuing what they call the Philosopher's Stone. That's the pursuit of immortality and doing it through nanotechnology. Again, it's the idea that they all wanted to pursue. The sciences are going to unlock these mysteries because you have to understand the history. Chemistry came from alchemy, right? That's why the scientists were so sort of considered heretical back in the day. Like Galileo went to prison for saying that the sun was at the center of the universe, not the earth. There's a whole thing there. So, and Nicholas Flamel allegedly pursued the Philosopher's Stone and allegedly found it and lived to the age of 665. Talked about that on the Harry Potter shows I did 7 years ago. And if you ever want to look at, I reference some of these shows and sometimes, oh, that's another housekeeping. I reference shows on here. Sometimes I put the links in the show notes, and I had someone from the VIP section message me and they said, hey, you keep talking about links in the show notes. I don't see no link in the show notes for any of these shows. Here's the deal. The free feed losers are free feed winners in this one instance, because I can put a link to my, on my blog on IlluminatiWatcher.com. You'll notice on, if you're on a laptop, on the right-hand side of the browser, you'll see index of every episode. If you're on your phone, it's kind of at the bottom, I think. And when you click it, I update every single episode going all the way back to 2014. All right, so you can do a control F and search Harry Potter and you'll find the episodes from 2017 or whatever it was. Now, why aren't the links in the show notes for my precious VIP section? It's because I can't post a link that works for you to access the VIP section version of the show. Okay? Like, I can't do it. You have to scroll back on the app, unfortunately. There's no way for me to do that. With Patreon, I can usually do the links. With Apple Premium, I cannot do it either, okay? It's because, like, you're on the app, and I can't... All I can provide you is my IlluminatiWatcher.com free feed loser episodes list links, okay? Does that make sense? So I could drop the link in there, but you'll just be listening to the version with the ads. I don't know. Maybe you would like that. Maybe you would prefer that better than scrolling through on the... You know what? Maybe I'll just start posting the links and of what I got on the... But they're links to the free feed. So I don't want it to be confusing. You'd be like, hey, I pay for this ad-free experience and I got ads. That's why it's like confusing. So anyway, so his mom goes to the mental asylum or whatever. And his dad, in true dad fashion, doesn't want to raise them. So he ships them off to the grandparents. Look, I could say that I'm a product of, my father was in the same situation. His mom died young and his dad handed him off to his parents. So Quincy Jones raised by his grandparents in a shotgun shack in Louisville. And he talks about grabbing rats by the tail to cook up when he was 7. He said you wanted to find the ones with the tails that were moving so you knew they were alive. And he would grab them and take them back and grandma would cook them up on a pan. And this is why, look, I'm a patriot, okay? This is the American dream. This dude went through all this trauma, was eating rats out of a frying pan, to being one of the most iconic people in the music industry, giving us beautiful music. Now, is he Illuminati confirmed or a terrible person? I don't know that. I don't hang out with the guy. I'm not here to pass judgment. I don't want to pass judgment. There's only one guy that can pass judgment, and I ain't him, okay? All I know is that, and the same goes for MJ, you know, whether or not he did the things to the kids, I don't know. I don't know either. I know he provided some beautiful music, though. And that was part of Quincy Jones. So it's just amazing. Like, you can really work your butt off and be whatever you want to in America. Like, that's what's beautiful about this country. So Ray Charles, he talks about him a little bit. He talks about having the book a lot, too. In fact, Ray Charles contributes a chapter in the book. Quincy Jones says Ray Charles was the most independent blind man you could ever witness. He'd go cross the lights, go to the supermarket, shop, count his change, no help. No GD canes and no cups. Nothing like that. His mother wouldn't let him do it. And the only time he got blind was when the girls were around and he'd start walking into the walls and stuff so they'd feel sorry for him and help him. Quincy Jones adds that Stevie Wonder also uses this technique. Now, this is interesting because Jamie Foxx was in the movie, the Ray Charles movie. Jamie Foxx, of course, ties into the world of Diddy and all this Illuminati confirmedness. Quincy Jones, at the age of 41, had an aneurysm. And then again, like a second one that was pending about to happen right after. And he was told that he's got a 1 in 100 chance of living through this. And they put a little clip on a nerve in his brain. And they tell him, hey, your days of blowing that trumpet, because he played instruments, right? said, the days of you blowing that trumpet are gone. And and Quincy Jones is like, I love playing the trumpet. I got to try it anyway. So he tries to play the trumpet after all that, and he feels this shooting in his brain, and they look into it, and they're like, oh, the clip is barely hanging on. The interviewer says, isn't it crazy that you even tried? And Quincy says, yeah, well, I missed the trumpet.
What?
What are we talking about? They ask him in the interview about the famous Tupac quote from the source. Tupac said, Quincy Jones is disgusting. All he does is stick his D in white B's and make effed up kids. And Quincy says, yeah, and my daughter kicked his ass, boy. Rashida, she was in Harvard then. Quote, mother effer, you wouldn't be where you are if they hadn't done what they did. Still, the interviewer says, still, it was an awful thing to say. Quincy says, I know, but people, you know, the haters everywhere. You know, we became good friends after that. We came almost in love with each other. Huh, what? In love? What are we talking about here? Oh, and we're going to start delving into that. That's the end of the GQ interview portion. We're going to get more into the conspiracy side of the house and the book now. In love? What are we talking about here? And he said later that they made up because Tupac was interested in his daughter, Kidada. And we're going to come back to Tupac in a minute. Let's talk conspiracy here. That's what you came for. We talked about Will Smith and Chris Rock and the iconic, infamous slap heard around the world in 2022. And you got to go back to the origin story of Will Smith. And that involves Quincy Jones. All right. Quincy Jones got Will Smith his role on Fresh Prince. And Will Smith, he had found Quincy out. He looked for him because he was convinced that Quincy Jones was an alchemist. That's Will Smith's words. And in his book, in Will Smith's book, he talks about how Quincy bought into a lot of magical thinking of the universe that Will Smith would eventually inherit as well. This is from Will Smith's book. This was an idea that Quincy fully understood fully. Magic demands awareness. Faith, you have to believe in magic. Preparation, move the rock. We must identify and eradicate the poisonous resistances and impediments within ourselves. Then surrender, stay out of the way and trust the magic to do what it does. Quincy helped people get their rocks out of the way of the blessed light that is always trying to shine in. The universe wants you to have a miracle. Move the damn rock. And then there was a reboot of Fresh Prince that was Will Smith and Quincy Jones also executive producing that show as well. And then during Will Smith's press tour for the, when he played King Richard, the tennis chicks, what are the name? You know what I'm talking about. He said, Quincy Jones is an alchemist, and he had set my mind on fire. I had never met anybody like him. I wanted to be an alchemist too. I wanted to be able to transform anything and everything that life gave me into gold. So, I mean, that's a couple. We're already at a couple occult references here for Quincy. And then his son, Quincy Jones III, a.k.a. Snoopy, in the book talks about how he had to reawaken his Kundalini spirit, so he did this African ritual. Strange. And in the conclusion, I'm going to put all the pieces together of what I think is going on, okay? So hang in there. Twin Peaks and Tupac. You know, and we discussed this on the Twin Peaks primer episode that led us into Tupac, so we're going to kind of revisit this. Quincy Jones was married to Peggy Lipton. She plays Norma Jennings, a main character at the Double R Diner in Twin Peaks. She died in 2019, sadly. But in the book, there's a whole chapter provided by Peggy Lipton. They were married from 1974 to 1989. Those dates are, I don't know, kind of important. She talks about why they divorced. She said that race wasn't the issue because it wasn't what brought them together and it wasn't what tore them apart. Quote, we had been all through that business. She's talking about racial things. Because, you know, being interracial in the 70s, like, we'd been all through that business where the police stopped us and asked him if he knew my middle name because they thought I was a prostitute and not his wife. We were stronger than that and stronger than Hollywood, but we had differences spiritually. I grew up in a reformed Jewish family and sought a connection with my own spirituality. I met my guru, my life teacher, as Quincy and I were breaking up. My experiences came from my escaping my past and my childhood. I don't know if she's talking about Kabbalah. That's Jewish mysticism. But nonetheless, I'll keep reading. Later, a couple paragraphs later, it says, then I met my teacher and my mother, who meant the world to me, was dying. After my mother died, a part of me died too. I couldn't open up to him or to anyone else. And I ended our marriage in a way that hurt and devastated everyone. I was bereft and longing for answers. Between his work schedule, my mother's illness, and our separation, he had a nervous breakdown. And I was as frightened and confused as I had ever been. He went to Tahiti to stay at Marlon Brando's place. While he was there, he had a mystical experience, an out-of-body experience. When he came home, he needed me, but I couldn't handle it. I had my own problems, and I didn't take any responsibility. I had a lot of guilt about that. I should have said, let's go see my spiritual teacher. Let's see what's going on. But I didn't. I was in such horrible shape myself. There was nothing I could do for him. If life had been different, if our destinies had been different, and if we had each dealt with the issues in our own past, it could have been different for us. But when he came home from Tahiti and needed me, I just couldn't cope. He feels I didn't want to make it work, but I was out of my mind not knowing who I was. Guilt is a sorry emotion when it comes after the fact, but I shut out nothing in my life. We're proud of our children. We had a good marriage. So he had an out-of-body spiritual experience as well. And apparently she was dealing with, I don't know a ton about Peggy Lipton. Apparently she was dealing with some serious spiritual slash maybe mental issues when they split up in 1989. This was when they started filming Twin Peaks. I'm not making any allegations there. I'm just saying, like, that's kind of interesting that she is in the state of turmoil and she filmed the greatest show ever. Meanwhile. But she, when she was 15, she was a model. And then by 19, she was an actress. She appeared in a bunch of 60s stuff. She got a role on the Mod Squad. Let's see. Wikipedia says she was born in New York City and then her uncle essayed her. And that must be some of the trauma she had to deal with, right? And the family moved to L.A. and she became a Topanga Canyon hippie where she practiced meditation and yoga and so on, right? And then she ends up marrying Quincy. She takes a break from acting and all that stuff to raise Kidada and Rashida Jones. Kidada Jones was, again, the woman who was dating Tupac when Tupac died. I think they were engaged. And, you know, Kidada, she was a designer for Disney and had a Disney Couture Kidada clothing line. She was a stylist for the Vibe magazine. She was recruited by Tommy Hilfiger to do some modeling with Aaliyah and Kate Hudson and Nicole Richie. Now, what's interesting about Kidada also is that she dated LL Cool J at one time in the 90s, and he broke it off because, quote, she praised a guru and statues, and I praise God. That's what LL Cool J said. Now, I'm going to read you from Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic about Tupac and Kidada and Quincy. Tupac, he was one of the most outspoken adversaries of Quincy Jones because, as I mentioned earlier, he was engaged to Quincy's daughter Kidada at the time of his murder. The issues Tupac and Quincy had with one another were stressed. When Tupac said in an interview that all Quincy knew how to do was stick his D in white B's and make effed up kids. Even bolder rumors show up on a YouTube video that claimed Tupac was taken out because he was revealing too many of the business secrets, including a tale of how he was confronted by Quincy and asked if he could have sex with Tupac before he got with his daughter. That's the part I'm trying to bring Remember earlier you said something like being in love with Tupac. That was kind of weird. The conspiracy theory that Quincy had Tupac murdered was so rampant, he actually replied to it in an interview and said, quote, "The people who say I wanted to have sex with him, man, this is the biggest age of haters I have ever seen in my life. I've been called a blonde lover, a pedophile, gay, everything. I don't care, man. Imagine my daughter being engaged to Tupac and me trying to make love to him. And I'm not into no man, man. I'm a hardcore lesbian. Are you kidding?" And in fact, Kidana, she had premonitions of Tupac's death. She wanted him to wear a body armor vest the night he was out to the Mike Tyson fight. He refused because Vegas was very hot. It was like July, so it's 170. And in the book, she talks about it as well. She said, well, this isn't her talking, but Quincy said this. He didn't, quote, he didn't like Tupac at first. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is Kidada Jones talking in Quincy's autobiography book. He didn't like Tupac at first. Tupac said in an interview in the Source magazine, quote, interracial couples, Quincy Jones is disgusting. All he does is stick his D in white bees and make effed up kids. That made Daddy mad. My sister wrote back a nasty letter to the Source. That's what I was talking about earlier when he quotes Rashida Jones. And they printed it. Not only that, two white girls in San Francisco wrote letters to the editor that said, if you don't like white people, what about when you hung with us? Anyway, I met Tupac at a club after that, and he said, I want to apologize to you. I didn't mean that about your dad or you. I didn't see you as real human beings. Now that I see you, he was all game. And then later she talks about how Tupac and Quincy made up. Quote, Tupac was excited because him and Snoop Doggy Dogg hoped to do this movie that Dad was producing called Pimp, based on the Iceberg Slim book that every other rapper in America also wanted to do. He never got to it, though. Now, this is interesting because, man, what year? 2018 or 19, we did a show about Dave Chappelle's The Bird Revelation stand-up special. I connected it with like Eyes Wide Shut party stuff. And I'm going to make a note to find the damn link. And Dave Chappelle at the end of the skit talks about this pimp book by Iceberg Slim. And he said it was an analogy for the whole entertainment industry. Smoke and mirrors, faking deaths, real deaths maybe. And he said back then, very prophetically, he said, look, if we want to get to the bottom of any of this, we have to accept some imperfect saviors. Meaning there's got to be people who have been part of some of these parties that have to come forward and be able to tell their truth without us roasting them too. Right? Like, if you want to know what goes on at the Diddy parties, you got to talk to someone who's been at the Diddy parties. I think that's what he was trying to say. Also, later in the Quincy book, he talks about owning your own music rights and how he was making money off of some of his older music, like his first album, Body Heat. Tupac sampled a track on that, and it's the Tupac song, How Do You Want It? A classic. Great song. I didn't know that was a sample from Body Heat. Then he says something real interesting and real sad about Peggy Lipton and the night Tupac died. No, I'm sorry. She said this. I know, it gets confusing. Kidada Jones in the Q book said this, quote, she talked about the night that Tupac got shot. They call her, Tupac's been shot. She goes to the hospital. I got a blanket from the hospital and circled the parking lot for 9 hours. I said, there's no way he's going to die. There's just no way. I walked around there until the sun came up and I had to keep my head down because I felt like I was going to projectile vomit all over the place. I wanted to explode, just come out of my skin. I was in complete physical shock. My mom was in New York and she flew down to Vegas. Here's my white Jewish mom, you know, praying with Pac's family, the ghetto family for real, you know. She's doing praying sessions with this conjure lady from Tupac's family who had called me. And Tupac, just a week before, telling us, I see Tupac settling in Vegas. I said, there's no way he's settling in Vegas. And then a week later, he was definitely settled in Vegas for good. He died at 4:30 p.m. a few days after that. Now, this is all very strange because we know that Kidada had these premonitions of Tupac dying. And now we hear that there was this conjuring lady that I guess Peggy Lipton and her were talking to and Tupac. I don't really know. But recall, we talked about in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, the death of Left Eye Lopez from TLC, which is very occulted. She was talking to the spirit of Tupac in Honduras. She was painting all-seeing eyes all over the room and messing with tarot cards, specifically at the moment of her passing when the car accident happened. She was asking for the box of tarot cards. I mean, it's strange. Strange activities here. Now, Rashida Jones, she's very famous. She's in The Office and, I don't know, Parks and Rec. I don't watch any of those shows. I watch The Office, though. I've seen that. She was also in a show called Angie Tribeca, where Peggy Lipton starred as her mother. But both Kidada and Rashida were in Aaliyah's music video for More Than a Woman. And if you recall in Sacrifice, I mentioned how Quincy Jones is uncomfortably close to Aaliyah and Tupac, who both died very prematurely. So a lot of, look, I don't know if there's solid connections or guilt, or if this is just weird synchromysticism connections, you know what I mean? I did a show with Mr. Gates and Billy Valentine a few years ago. We talked about Quincy Jones a bunch too. Let's see here. And then I found, more on Kidada and LL Cool J. On Lipstick Alley, someone claimed this. So this is like one of those blind item things, right? Supposedly he said, she would go to an ashram, consult a guru, and pray to statues. Before my album 14 Shots to the Dome dropped, Kidada told me she threw some kind of stick into the internal fire for my album. I was like, yo, why did you do that? I didn't ask you to do that. That joint flopped crazy. Oh, well, I'm sorry I cared, she said. I had hurt her feelings, but she had hurt me too. I know she meant well, but I just couldn't get with that. She took me to her guru once, and I remember kneeling before this strange young woman who was touching feathers. Is this the Tupac lady? I don't know. Finally, on to Diddy. Well, not finally. We got a couple more topics. Some seedy gossip mill types are saying Quincy Jones was worried that he was on the Diddy FBI freak-off tapes, but I don't know. I couldn't find any definitive real links. You know, today's age of the internet, there's so many lies going on, and it sucks because there's a profit motive now to get traction and clicks, so who knows what's real anymore. But Diddy did have beef with Quincy Jones. Back in 2012, Quincy was at a Spotify launch event and said that Diddy couldn't recognize a B-flat if it hit him. And he said, P. Diddy has a doctorate in marketing. But in the book, in the Q book, which was from, oh man, when's the book from? Come on, Isaac, you can find that really quick. Q, book, auto, bio, Quincy Jones. Let's see, I think it's 2003. Let's see if I'm right. 2002, dang, I'm close. Okay, so 2003, so this is 9 years before he started talking trash about Diddy, apparently. He said, what I tell the young musicians is how important it is to be in control of your musical destiny. There are some standout examples in this younger generation who understand this. Russell Simmons, Dr. Dre, QD3, Sean P. Diddy Combs. I don't know. He didn't say anything else about Diddy in the book that I saw. And then you got Kim Porter's connection with all of this. She had a son with Albie Shore, who is Diddy's rival. Albie Shore's biological son with Kim Porter is named Quincy Brown. Okay? And Quincy Brown is named after Quincy Jones, who was Albie Shore's mentor. And then Diddy would later adopt Quincy Brown. And I'm sure Albie Shore and Quincy Jones probably don't like that because I guess that they're at odds. I don't know. It's very strange. Almost finally. Oh, no, I got Tevin Campbell yet. Okay. Charles Manson and then Tevin Campbell. Then we're done. Charles Manson. In the Q book, he talks about how his hairstylist, Jay Sebring, was going to give him this ointment for a bald spot. And he said, hey, come over to the house, Sharon Tate's house. I'll be there tonight. Well, it was the night, I think it was August 8, 1969 at 1050 CLO Drive. He said in the book, Quote, he said he'd bring it that night to Sharon's or he'd see me tomorrow at the salon. I didn't think too much about it. I said I would come because I knew the house. I had almost bought it. Instead, Terry Melcher and Candace Bergen leased it. Then Sharon and Roman Polanski had moved in. I knew Sharon Tate pretty well. I had just seen her and Roman Polanski in London at a New Year's Eve party at Michael Caine's house. But when I got home that night, I changed my mind and went to bed. Early the next morning, a call from Bill Cosby in London woke me up. Did you hear about Jay? He's dead. I said, BS. I was just with him yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I got on the phone and called Sebring International. I said, is Jay Sebring there? The woman demanded, who is this? I said, Quincy Jones. She said, Jay Sebring is dead. Blam! Hung up the phone. No one knew who did it until Sharon Tate's father, who was in military intelligence, led investigators to a guy named Charles Manson, who had dispatched his followers to the Cielo Drive house with the orders to kill the pigs on the hill. They targeted Terry Melcher because he had refused to support Manson's efforts to do a record. If we had moved in there, Terry Melcher and Candy wouldn't have, and the whole thing never would have happened. And why I bring that up, I mean, obviously there's the weird synchromysticism kind of vibe, but more importantly, recall on the recent show I did, which, what was the show called? I think it was called Diddy Scandal Updates. It was just in the last like month or two. We talked about the sex tape operation that Diddy had going on, and we talked about how the similarities between the Diddy events. Yeah, I think it's called Diddy Updates. I did so many Diddy shows. Anyways, you know, Epstein had this weird sex tape thing, blackmail. Diddy had this weird sex tape blackmail. And Roman Polanski allegedly had stuff similar. I don't know if it was blackmail, but in the book Chaos by Tom O'Neill, he confirms that the LAPD did in fact have a sex tape of Roman Polanski's because there's allegations that he would have, and I talked about all this on that episode, allegations about how he would have all these dudes, you know, knocking down Sharon Tate on film, crazy stuff. Then Professor Griff, that's a guy I used to listen to forever ago. He hasn't made the rounds on the conspiracy circuit in many years, but he was saying that Quincy Jones was allegedly running sex rings as well. I don't know what proof he has for that. Supposedly, like, homosexual hazing stuff going on and secret society stuff. I don't know what proof he's got for that, but that's the claims he was making. Crazier stuff's happened, right? And then he talked about Will Smith, because Quincy got Will Smith his first movie role as well on 6 Degrees of Separation. And in a PBS interview, Quincy said he was trying to get the rights to this movie. And what are my notes saying? Oh, and I looked into the movie. It was interesting because I'd never seen the film, but Heather Graham was in it. She's, of course, Annie from Twin Peaks. How's Annie? Then we've got Oz Perkins was in it. We just talked about him. He was the director of Long Legs. He was in 6 Degrees of Separation. It was Will Smith's breakout film role. And J.J. Abrams was in the movie. Yes. Crazy. Finally, there's Tevin Campbell. There was rumors going around forever that he got essayed by Quincy Jones. They deny this. Tevin would later come out gay, kind of. We'll talk about that. Tevin Campbell had worked with Albie Shore, Quincy Jones. He had appearances on Fresh Prince. You know, so he's plugged into all these characters. And Prince plays a role in a lot of this. That track, Round and Round, that was produced by Prince. I didn't know that. Tevin Campbell's third album in 1996 was produced by Diddy, Sean Diddy Combs. That's right. And what's interesting is that after he was doing this album with Diddy, he started spiraling just a couple years later. In 99, Campbell was arrested after soliciting a lewd act from an undercover police officer during a sting operation. The sting operation was reportedly conducted in an area near an elementary school where there had been numerous complaints from the public about cruising and solicitation. Now, when they say cruising, I think the implication is that it's gay stuff. Not that there's a problem with that. Well, there's a problem with if you're doing it illegally or at elementary schools or whatever. Over the years, there's been lots of allegations. Tevin cryptically addresses them. In 2022, as recent as 22, I'm like, damn, I forgot who Tevin Campbell was. He says, I'm not gay, but there's a lot of different things that I do like sexually. Being in the business, you're introduced to a lot of different things. I'm not gay, but I'm a freak. And I think a lot of people know what a freak is. No, we don't, Tevin. What does that mean? What are you talking about? And then just after that, he came out officially gay on the People Every Day podcast. Oh, what is going on with Tevin Campbell? There was a Vibe article from 2018 that addressed these SA rumors, saying that the rumors are that when he was a minor is when Quincy was essaying him. I couldn't verify the Vulture article. It was behind a paywall. Tevin responded, said, no way, whatever. Apparently, Jaguar Wright also was claiming that Tevin Campbell was prostituting himself for drugs, and Tevin's suing her, so there's that. So I don't know what's going on with Tevin Campbell. I'm not gay, but there's a lot of different things I do like sexually. Being in the business, you are introduced to a lot of different things. What things, dude? So in conclusion, Quincy Jones lived quite a life. He's one of the architects of modern pop music. I read someone claim, they described him, they said he gave America's music depth, soul, and a heartbeat. But is he Illuminate confirmed? I hesitate to say that. And the reason why, and of course I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. It's not as clear cut. Like sometimes when these people die, I get into their work and their biographies and I find stuff. You know, Roseanne Barr, Matthew Perry, Dave Grohl, all of them said they made a pact with the devil for fame. All of them said it. I didn't see that in the book. Is it possible I missed it? I don't think so. I did read it very fast. I did borderline speed read the book. But I didn't see it anywhere in there. But in fact, he talks several times about this strange idea of playing music and channeling it and playing for God or the devil. Quote, as I played, my mother would stand behind me saying, don't play for the devil, play for God, play for the Holy Ghost, play for Jesus, play for the Pope. Make sure, absolutely sure, you play for the Pope. It didn't matter that she was a Christian Scientist and that we were raised Baptist. Which, I mean, she went to the mental hospital after that, right? Then later he says, I'd mention music and she'd say, do you know Jesus? Or, God doesn't like sinners, Quincy Jr. Make music for God only or you'll be redeemed in hell. Then later he talks about channeling. He says, I'd put Rashida to bed and plow on, keeping the television on to occupy my conscious mind and let my subconscious mind work, scoring with or without piano in ink. That's where the subconscious mind kicks in, when you push the conscious mind aside. You're getting out of your own way and letting God do the work. God and Nadia Bollinger. She used to tell me back in France, and it took me years to accept it, that you only have real freedom when you set boundaries and parameters. When you have total freedom, you automatically create chaos. As a jazz artist, this was hard to swallow until I had to score films on a deadline. And it's interesting because jazz, from what I understand, is kind of a freestyle thing. Like people just, they just lock in and they're just playing. Like there's no script. It just kind of flows through them. And he said earlier in another quote, he says, he talks about how the muses come out at midnight. And like that's one of the reasons he stays up late. And then some interesting ideas of his family's spiritual ideas connected with the occult that we talked about on this show. Will Smith saying Quincy's an alchemist. Then you've got, of course, Quincy's channeling metaphor and playing music for the God or the devil. Quincy the third, QD3 Snoopy. In the book, he talks about doing these rituals, African rituals to wake up his Kundalini. Then you got Peggy Lipton's spirituality stuff and Kidada Jones doing rituals that LL Cool J wasn't down with and the Tupac lady. Strange stuff. I don't know what's going on. I mean, there's lots of red flags. Nothing too firm. You know, what do you guys think? I don't know. But I am going to finish with an interesting dude, interesting life, traumatic childhood. So, you know, I respect the work ethic and, you know, gave us some good music. I'll finish with a quote that he said in his book, or that he uses in his book. It's very Twin Peaks. He said, "Life is like a dream." And that comes from the Spanish poet and philosopher Federico Garcia Lorca. And that's also in Fire Walk With Me, basically. Now, it's an interesting look at the life and times of Quincy Jones, and I would hope they do a movie about him because it's super interesting. I'm sure there's a lot more to delve into, but the connections of the spiritual elements is what's interesting to me, and that is, of course, occult, which just means hidden, all right? And when I say, is he Illuminate confirmed, we're talking about, is he into the occult stuff? Is he practicing? Well, he doesn't really admit to it in the book. He doesn't really say it very specifically. So that's why I'm like kind of in a gray zone. So there you go. That's the show. One last reminder, if you go to sign up for the supporter feed for this show and you want to do it on Patreon, and you have an Apple device, and you're like, hey, I'm going to download the Patreon app and sign up for Isaac's Illuminati Watcher Patreon, you're going to pay a few bucks more. The way around that is you just merely go on a laptop, a desktop, a browser, or Android, and you can go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher and sign up there and save yourself the few buck extortion fee that Apple's about to hit you with, okay? If you're already on Patreon, you're good. You don't have to worry about nothing. You're good. From what I understand, even if you're on like an annual subscription, you're good. It's only for new signups, okay? And if you want to support the show, you know where to go. You know what to do. Links are always in the show notes. If you want to support the show and you want to help me out, drop a 5-star review. I've been reading them. I only read them every so often because my little tender heart can't take the negative hits. Leave me a 5-star and then say whatever you want. That's the deal I'll make with you. You can tell me you hate me, leave a 5-star, and I'll know that your intentions are good. That's positive feedback. I already know you. I know I hear a lot. You guys are like, I'm tired of Twin Peaks. I know. I get it. We're almost done. We're almost there. But if you if you want to tell me that, go for it. But leave a 5-star, because I got 1-star haters that they don't know anything about me. They know anything about my show. And they just get on there and they say some mean ass stuff and drop a 1-star. They don't know the kind of work this takes that goes behind the scenes of reading whole books and buying crap. And anyway, so thanks for listening to the show. Till next time, stay positive.